Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
There once was a ship that put to sea. The name of the ship was a Bully of Tea. The winds blew up her bow, dipped down below my bully boys blow. Soon may the wellerman come to bring us sugar and tea and rum. One day when the turning is done, we'll take our leave and go. She'd not been too.
Ahoy, ahoy. My favorite part of this podcast is trying to identify what song you picked and what the connection is. So, Dan, can you explain yourself?
I was watching TikTok earlier and I found it and I thought it was fucking hilarious. And the song's actually super catchy, but
I feel you failed. You missed a golden opportunity.
I did. Do you want me to do it right now?
Yes, because this is, We're doing this podcast intro for the second time due to technical difficulties, but there was a much better option. So
there is. If you could indulge me. We are back. We are back. We have got Nick back because we're the three best friends that anyone could have.
That's
well
right.
Done, sir.
The trifecta is back. Mr. Nick Ruth is making an appearance. I don't know if this is permanent, a guest, or what. But he's here for this podcast. We'll take it.
I had four picks. I got to talk myself up here.
I think the podcast in what are we in year four now is what we're in?
Yeah. This is the start of the fourth year.
Nick's back. I met Hambrook for the first time. Chris Hambrook for the first time in actual real life. Him and Zane were in town. He wants in on the podcast. I'm going to go out here and say this. We're fucking making waves.
Our listener count is going to be in the double digits in no time. Not a doubt in my mind.
Fuck.
But Dan and Nick, how are you guys doing?
It's a beautiful day in paradise, man.
It is pretty good. I didn't get stung installing the new beehive, so I consider that a win.
The fucking hobby farmers are us. It's fantastic. I'm not taking care of those bees.
You say that now, but you're going to be like going to get honey or something in the near future. You're going to have like a full bee like regalia. It's going to be glorious.
We'll see what happens. I bet you, I don't think they make suits that big.
I mean, you could get like a giant.
Yeah, I don't know, man. Something. My suit is huge.
Yeah. Anyway, as we digress out of the bees and Nick making meat eventually. Yeah.
Way to bring us back, Dan. Yeah. On this pod, obviously the rookie draft started. We got the first two rounds in the book. Books, but we also, you know, have some trades to go over. You know, we haven't really talked since free agency. There was a lot of just real life trades in the NFL that went down. This has been a very crazy off season. So we're going to go through, talk about some of the league activity that we had and go through the first round and whatever hijinks pop up along the way, we'll, you know, tackle it as we come. So I say let's start with the trades and we'll work down through there. Sound good?
Yes, sir.
Works all right. For me. Let's do the first trade. And this one was back before free agency. It involves Sam and Stefan getting together for a deal. Sam sent Josh Jacobs, Christian Kirk, and the 11th pick in the second round. And Stefan sent Deontay Johnson. Dan, how are you feeling about this trade?
So obviously this is pre-free agency. So Big Ben retires. Nobody's 100% sure what Pittsburgh's going to do at quarterback. And then Kissin' Titties comes in, Mitchell Trubisky. And that is kind of a question mark. You feel really good about it. I guess there's a lot of good signs that he made significant progress in Buffalo. I mean, obviously, when you learn from the best quarterback in the NFL and Josh Allen, you feel good about what you see coming in. But there's a lot of question marks. So I think Deontay takes a small hit there. Christian Kirk obviously is in a different area. Josh Jacobs didn't get his fifth-year option picked up. But Josh Jacobs is still in a decent offense. Christian Kirk is going to be the potential forecast, as again, we're pre-free agency. But I like this for Stefan. I like that he gets Kirk. I like that he gets Jacobs. I like that he gets a pick. Deontay Johnson, obviously, is more talented than any of these guys, but nobody was really sure about the future of the quarterback situation.
Nick, do you want to chime in?
You know, I tried getting Deontay Johnson for like 3 months straight, and then he went for this.
Were you close?
We were super close. I think it was within me not wanting to give up a second versus a third or something. But pre-agency, I think it's pretty even trade. We knew Deontay Johnson had turnover. No idea where Kirk's going, and Jacobs is the bell cow. Post-free agency, Christian Kirk broke the wide receiver market. And
he did.
Probably is the reason all those trades happened.
Yep, a lot of action.
Jacobs, I don't think really changes. We kind of knew running back short-lived, so him not getting the new contract, what have you. And then 211, I guess, it's just cherry on the top. Doesn't really move the needle much. So all in all, I think it's super even trade, even post-free agency.
Yeah, I mean, how are you guys feeling about Josh Jacobs at this point? We saw, obviously, them decline the fifth round or the fifth year option. And now, you know, in the rookie draft, you know, we saw them pick up, you know, Zamir White in the middle of the rounds. There's been some buzz with him. I mean, is Jacobs destined to kind of fall into that running back pit of like despair, like of irrelevancy? Or, you know, is this just a little skid mark and he's, you know, fine for years to come?
I'll go ahead and jump in here. I think it's just a skid mark. I think he's fine. I mean, he was RB 11 in PPR last year with it. I don't think this cuts into any pieces of it. If you're going to question anything, it might be some of the health pieces to it, as he did miss a little bit of time with injury. But overall, I think he had a very productive season with this. I know you have talked about, we've talked about this in private. This is just like not picking up the fifth year option. It's just like having a franchise tag.
Yep. Especially for a running back.
Yep. So you save a little bit of money potentially there, but I don't think this is a blip in at all in Josh Jacobs' piece. This is just a small little shart in the tidy whities and you're good.
Yeah. I could see his career arc going the same as Melvin Gordon. You know, you don't get the big deal. You move around, I guess not move around. You move, you find a good spot with just 1 year deals, you know, not quite being the bell cow, but I mean, Gordon still puts up good numbers.
Still being
but,
fantasy relevant. Yeah.
Yeah. I think that's honestly the new running back arc is they run into the ground for 4 years and then you kind of timeshare with someone who they're running into the ground and the vicious cycle repeats.
Yeah, no, I agree. And I think, you know, because of that, like, I think it's fair to say like Josh Jacobs is a good running back. I don't know if he's a great running back. And, you know, for Deontay Johnson, we've seen him be a great player. Yeah, there might be uncertainty now with the quarterback position. We'll see how Kenny Pickett does. But I think this could be your classic trade of, you know, short term, I think great for Stefan. You know, you get a lot of pieces. But in the long run, you know, 2 years, a year from now, you know, Deontay Johnson, you know, might be just, you know, continue to be relevant at an elite level. And maybe that puts it over the hump for Sam. I don't know.
Yeah, it's tough. Pittsburgh and wide receivers, they don't extend them. They just draft and replace.
True.
And was Deontay Johnson so good because Ben was getting the ball out of his hand in 2 seconds flat? That's a quarterback fair. Who can throw more than 10 yards. And maybe Pittsburgh just drafted his replacement. It's kind of, he's going into, I believe, the last year of his contract this year.
That is correct.
So there are a lot of uncertainty. I don't know. I mean, now Kirk is set up to be a one, so it could be super interesting. And he's tied to Trevor Lawrence for a while.
All right, we've devoted way too much about this trade, but just real quick. Christian Kirk, is he a top 20 wide receiver for fantasy next year? Yes or no? Starting with you, Dan.
No.
Nick?
Yes.
I'm going to say no.
2-1. Suck it, Ruth.
Well, someone is going
to
be
happy. I have Lawrence. He has to be a top 10.
Fair enough.
Touche.
Okay, let's move on to the second trade. And this one involved Kevin and Jer getting together for a deal. On this one, Jer sent Robert Woods and the 11th pick in the third round of this rookie draft. And Kevin sent a 2023 second round draft pick that is Armand's. Nick, we'll start with you this time. What's your thoughts on this deal?
It's depth. I don't think Kevin gave up too much. He didn't get too much. It's a trade because you like trading in my eyes. I mean, it kind of works out for him with AJ Brown going out. Woods will probably get more targets than he would have, but it's a run first offense with another big name wide receiver coming in that they just drafted. So doesn't really move the needle either way.
I'm out with that. I think this was a bad move by Kevin. Injuries, lack of production that we've seen. He's had moments where he shined, but he hasn't been really great. I'll take the second all day that Jerry gets.
Yeah, I mean, I think for me, the biggest thing is, like, let's just ignore Robert Woods, you know, going to a new offense, you know, 30 years old, coming off the ACL injury. Let's ignore this. You know, Kevin's someone that's been just perpetually all in, and he made this trade in what, like March? You know, and what Kevin doesn't have, like, a lot of draft ammo. So, like, any ammo that he sends, like, basically puts him in all in. So, like, was this, like, the best option, the best, like, way to go with a second round pick in the, you know, next year's draft, which looks really good? And, you know, no offense to Armand, it might be a high draft pick. I don't know if this was just the best use of talent or the best use of an asset. So that's, like, really the biggest reason that I'm kind of negative for Kevin. Side of it. I love it for Jer.
Yeah, that's all I got to say about that.
It's a very exciting podcast so far. I'm liking the energy. I think we need to get, you know, in sync with this three-person pod.
I'm almost through the first drink. This should get really good.
Okay, good. Quick. Excellent.
I'm also trying to figure out what the fuck the initials for the next trade stand for, but we're good.
All right, well, let's move on to that one. And this was a brother trade. Mr. Nick Ruth and Kevin Ruth got together for a deal. And Dan, to answer your question, Nick sent Mo Ali Cox and the third pick in the second round of this year's draft. And Kevin sent Cole Kmet and the 10th pick in the fourth round of this year's draft. Nick, we'll save you for the end so you can kind of get your sort of Trump thoughts on what you're thinking. And Dan, let's start with you. What's kind of your thoughts on this one?
I like Kmet. I like him a hell of a lot fucking better than Mo Ali Cox. Post draft, I like him a fucking hell of a lot better than Mo Ali Cox because Indy went out and drafted a fucking monster at fucking tight end. And I say monster because he's fucking huge.
He's still smaller than Mo Ali Cox, just so you
is
know.
He? No, I thought he was 6'5. I thought, okay, fuck it, whatever.
He's an athletic freak, but continue.
Cole Kmet's bigger than fucking Mo Ali Cox is, and that's what matters.
Mo Ali Cox is 6'6", 260. He is a massive human being.
I have 6'5", 267, and Cole Kmet's 6'6", 260. And I saw fucking pictures of fucking Cole Kmet in Bears training camp, and the dude looks yoked with that. I like the Kmet acquisition here. I do. I think Nick does decent at this. I think he is going to be a weapon that Justin Fields is comfortable with. I think that helps with the fact that the Bears front office gave Justin Fields absolutely dog worth of shit to build around. So I think this is a boom year for Cole Kmet. I think this is a great acquisition to hope that you have a tight end in a tight end premium league that's going to go off.
Yeah, I mean, so my general thoughts are, I mean, Kmet, like, I think Kmet is a fine player. I think he's destined to be a top 12 tight end, but I think he's destined to be kind of like in that Hunter Henry, you know, mold, like that he's going to be like tight end, like 9 to tight end 12. Like, I'm not sure if he's a difference maker. You know, you say like, this is the year like that Kmet like blows up. Like, guess what? The Bears offense, nothing changed like from last year. Like, it was still just Kmet and Mooney. And this year it's going to be Kmet and Mooney. And Kmet, I mean, yeah, he didn't have touchdowns. So, like, hopefully there's regression. But it's not like he did amazing to begin with last year. So I think he's a fine option. I think value-wise, it's solid for both teams here. It makes sense. But I rather roll the dice with an, you know, early option in the second round. Especially as a rebuilding team, and, you know, maybe go for a wide receiver or a running back that would fall, you know, potentially in that situation. This was done pre-draft, so it was hard to project, you know, who would be available. But that's my thoughts. Nick, you know, you want to give your thoughts or rebuttal to anything said by probably me?
The big thing is the no touchdowns. So there'll be some positive regression there in theory.
Yeah.
And towards the end of the year, he really started taking over snap counts. The beginning, he was in the 50-ish percent snap percentage. And then towards the end, he was up in the 90s. I think Jimmy Graham's, I think he is gone or it's going to be gone.
Oh, fucking old man Graham.
I think he's gone.
Yeah, so yeah. He's not splitting time there anymore.
Yep.
And positive regression is really what I'm going on. Price was cheap. I didn't expect 2-3 to be Pickens, but I think with my team, I'd still want a tight end over a wide receiver, a good tight end.
Here's my question for you. My question for you, Nick, if Fant is still on the Denver Broncos, do you make this trade? Like with Russell Wilson, if he wasn't part of that deal?
Not a chance.
Yeah. Okay, that's fair. Yeah, I mean, any other thoughts on this one? I mean, that I don't know. It's kind of a, it's not super exciting, but it's probably one of those trades that both teams are happy with it a year from now.
Yeah, I feel like these are the trades that our league doesn't really have. We have so many blockbusters.
Sure.
But moving for potential like Komet for my team just makes so much sense. Kevin getting someone who can help right away because he already has Kelsey. So tight end's not too hurting. So just kind of a win-win. And it gives me another higher chance lottery ticket, I guess, for lack of a better term.
Yeah, that's fair. All right, now, you know, this is what we're here for, the first round of the NFL draft, rookie draft. Before we jump into, like, some of the action, you know, I want to touch base with you, Nick, because you, you know, you had a lot of picks. You had the first pick, the third pick, and I believe the ninth pick built or at the start of the rookie draft. What were kind of maybe, you know, your expectations? You know, obviously, we all kind of knew Breece Hall was going to be this pick, but what were you maybe hoping to accomplish or see happen, you know, after the NFL draft and right before, like, all the fun began?
Well, the NFL draft fucked my entire draft board because I was banking on me going 1-1 Breece Hall, Jared probably going Kenneth Walker.
Yep.
His team needed running backs. And then me going Malik Willis.
Did not happen.
Oh, my God. So you
get a good third young window. Good third young quarterback to go with Herbert and Lawrence, I'd be set for the next like decade. Yeah. So that didn't happen.
Okay. Was there a lot of interest? You know, obviously, spoiler alert, this pick was traded to Dan. So this is going to be fun. We can talk to both you guys. But what was there a lot of interest for 1.1, like from outside of Dan? Like, was this a hot commodity if you want to indulge the audience at all?
No. I had talked with I had talks with Jer for about 5 minutes, but he didn't like my asking price.
Okay.
And then it was just me and Webbs. So not much interest at all.
Interesting. Okay. Well, let's announce the trade. You know, Nick and Dan got together on a deal. Nick sent the first overall pick. Dan sent the fourth pick, the sixth pick. 2023 fourth round draft pick. That was yours, Dan. And the gentleman's $1 in fab. I guess I'll say my thoughts, you know, and then you guys can go through. It's a very interesting trade because, like, when I look at your team, Nick, and I see, you know, what you're building, you know, you still hit, you're obviously rebuilding, but your team outside of Herbert and, you know, knock on wood, hopefully Lawrence, I don't know if there's a lot of like stars here. I think there's a lot of good players, a lot of players that have upside to maybe become great. But, you know, with the 1.1, even in this week draft, you are expecting, and I think, you know, it's fair to assume that this first pick is going to be a stud. And I think Breece Hall has that potential. So moving it, I think, is a risky option unless you get like something that's just hard to turn down. And getting two high draft picks, you know, the fourth pick and the sixth pick, you know, without knowing who's there. I mean, I think this was a you know, this was a haul, like getting these two, no pun intended, getting those two picks. So, I mean, I get it. It's, you know, it's risky, I think, passing up like maybe the as close as the sure thing is in this draft, especially for your team. But I don't fault, you know, getting two high draft picks. For you, Dan, I mean, it's risky, but I also don't fault trading to get like the safest player in this draft. Like there is some risk here. You know, the wide receivers, I think we all like, but you know, who knows? Just because we've seen historically some of the most recent classes panned out doesn't mean that this class will. So it's a steep price that you pay, Dan, but I admire you going for it. For, you know, Nick's side, it's bold to move off, but I think, you know, if you hit on both these picks, you can really come out ahead. So this is my political response. So Nick, why don't we start with you, I guess, since you traded the 1.1. What were kind of your thoughts and if there's any rebuttals to what I sort of said?
So with this draft, the only surefire was Breece Hall. I don't think a running back
Did he fucking die? Hold on, I gotta fucking get it up here. I think he did. He die? Oh shit. Do I still have you though?
You still have me. So why don't we switch? Oh. This is what we call a teaser.
Oh, he fucking died. His internet probably shit the bed. He's gonna disappear here in a second. This makes my fucking day so much better. All right.
Well, so Dan, let's go from your perspective. You had at this point the 4th, the 5th, and the 6th. You know, yep. You made the move to go up. What was kind of going through your head? And why did you decide to move these picks and get, you know, the number one overall pick?
I think this is exactly what we were talking about, is this is the surefire piece in this draft. And I understand that jumping up to get part of that is going to be a hefty price. It's going to be something that needs to be thought thoroughly through before you can really go on. And it was a tough decision. It really was. But I thought what I paid for the pick to get what I'm getting, with the fact that I do have a couple question marks around running backs, I thought it was the best way to go. I thought my receiver crew could get me through. The acquisition of Pittman really helped me. You know, having Amari Cooper leave Dallas was a good thing for me. Just having Gallup, Boyd is still part of that very potent Cincinnati offense. I pick up Hurst in that offense with the exit of Austin Hooper. So getting a top tier running back for me solidifies a little bit more of why I'm rebuilding, and moving these two picks didn't seem too detrimental to me, where I thought I would just be sitting wide receiver, wide receiver, wide receiver at 4, 5, and 6.
It's fair. So, I mean, when you look at it, like when you and you look at Breece Hall, we say he's like the, you know, surest, you know, maybe safest in this class. You know, from your side, what does Breece Hall need to be for this to be a successful trade? Are we talking top 15, top 10, top 5? Like, where does he need to be running back wise for you to be like, yes, this is worth it?
I think if he's a top 12 guy, I'm in great shape. I think this is a very big piece. Now, Michael Carter was great. Like, I don't want to take anything away from what Michael Carter went through and put up this year. But Breece Hall is a bigger talent than Michael Carter is. I mean, with the fact that this guy in back-to-back years rushed for over 1,400 yards, mm-hmm. you know, was a bigger piece in the passing game come year two in Iowa State. I think this – I just have the gut feeling that says that this is – he's a top 12 guy. I understand he plays in fucking the Jets. He's got to play fucking the Bills twice. He's got to play the Pats twice. I like the production I think he's going to get, because they've got to take some pressure off of Zach Wilson.
It's hard to argue with that.
But yes, it was a very steep price to pay. I understand that. I acknowledge that. Nick wanted 1, 4, and 1, 5. I obviously knew that wasn't going to happen because I wanted the middle pick, and that was the sacrifice we made.
Yep.
Originally, it was 1, 4, 1, 6, and $2 in fab.
Ooh.
But Nick went through and said, I want the 4th. So I said, fuck you. You get $1 in fab instead. And we found the reasonable. Because that dollar in fab is going to make a difference one day.
It really could. It's going to put things over the top. And I think a difference maker. So I respect that. With that said, I think we have Nick back on the line. Nick, can you hear us?
We do. Yes.
All right.
Spectrum internet is fantastic.
So Dan just spent the last 7 minutes really shitting on you and your trade negotiations and did not like the white. No, I'm just kidding. All right.
I wanted my fucking extra dollar in Fab.
Yeah. No, I, of course. Yeah. But no, Nick, you were kind of about to start your thoughts on, you know, this trade from your side, you know, what you were thinking. If you'd like to continue, we'd love to hear it.
Yeah, my team has a lot more holes than one running back. Breece Hall would probably be going into his third or fourth year before I'm relevant and can actually compete. So it'd just be wasted value. When I got the offer to move back, get two picks, I can grab more wide receivers and hope one hits. That's basically my entire strategy this whole draft is if I get enough lottery tickets, hopefully you win.
Yeah, that's fair. I mean, is there, so I understand obviously cashing in on the Breece Hall ticket now. You know, the value's there, it exists, you can cash in on it now. Was there any thought, even like looking at your team, be like, all right, I'm not going to compete until 2024. Maybe that's the goal. Was there any thought to maybe just picking Breece Hall with the intent on like flipping him if he works out, like whether midseason or like a year from now, maybe if he gets like kind of the rookie bump, or was this the goal from like day one to cash in on this?
If I couldn't get a trade, that certainly was the hope. But it's just harder to trade players than picks, at least in my point of view. And the pick won't depreciate like he would. So that was the easiest one to move, especially running back gets hurt. They do Cam Akers things or they do ETN things. Then I'm stuck with a hurt guy, which helps my draft stock for next year, but doesn't help my team much. So taking them and trading them, I think I would have gotten less value. Because you think about it, would you trade a running back for two top 10 picked wide receivers in an NFL draft? Don't think many people would. So I think I came out pretty good on this, especially with my team composition and where my team's at. A running back wouldn't have done anything.
All right, that's fair. I mean, you add, let's see. So the pit, well, we'll talk about the picks, I guess, but it ended up becoming Drake London and Garrett Wilson, as we mentioned, two top 10 picks. You add them to the wide receiver core of DJ Moore, Rashad Bateman, Chris Godwin. That's pretty stout. So hard to argue with that. Dan, any kind of last thoughts on your side of things when we look at, you know, this trade and just your desire to move up?
No, I think it was I think there was mutual interest for Nick to move back and me to move up that played into each other's opportunities. This, in my short rebuild, I think with what I'll call it, makes me competitive, as I think the division that Stefan owns becomes a little bit more competitive for the top three. But I think I'm a couple pieces closer to Stefan's falling off and my taking over the division and trying to defend it from everybody else.
All right.
Hashtag foreshadow.
I like it. You're going for it is what you're saying. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, okay. The first pick obviously became Breece Hall. We knew it was, you know, that's who it was going to be. Is there any, well, actually, let's just do a prediction. Year one, is he a top 12 running back in dynasty or in fantasy? Not dynasty, like in terms of actual production, top 12 running back. Let's start with you, Nick.
I'd say, yeah. I think the last like 6 years, a rookie running back has been a top 12 running back in fantasy. So I think he's really one of two, foreshadowing. That could be a top 12 running back this year. And he's set up for it. There's not much competition. Michael Carter, kind of meh. So.
Yeah, I think 12 is about right. I can see him in the back half there. Dan, are you envisioning 8 year one?
He's definitely a top 12 guy. Like I said, I think he takes a lot of pressure off of Zach Wilson. He's got the build for it. He's got the resiliency for it, with the fact that he's going to be fucking running for his life in the backfield. I like it. I like the Jets is a tough landing spot, but he has all the skills and opportunities to really make a difference in that offense.
Yeah. I don't know, man. I'm getting high on the Jets. They're looking like they're building something really fun.
Oh, you mean the fact that they actually went through and gave their young quarterback talented weapons to fucking throw the ball to, get the running? Fuck it. I fucking hate the Bears. Okay, anyways.
Well, they definitely have shades of Cincinnati, right? Like, you can envision, like, the Joe Burrow, Joe Mixon, T. Higgins, Jamar Chase, Tyler Boyd. You know, it's like a mirror image. Like, as long as – if Zach Wilson can be a fraction of Joe Burrow, you know, Elijah Moore, Garrett Wilson, Breece Hall, Corey Davis, you know, whoever else. Like, this could be a very fun offense.
Agreed.
All right, let's move on to pick two, and this is where I think the draft got interesting. For – no one else is in this, you know, group chat, but one of the fun things that we've done for the last, like, kind of 2 months when talking about the draft is, what the fuck is Jer going to do? Jer's a wild card. He marches to the beat of his own drum, and that's kind of like, you know, you can use that to your advantage, right? If no one knows what you're going to do, like, it makes things very hard to project and predict, you know, what's going to happen. So I think everyone, Dan, did you know where Jer, your old man, was leaning, like, ahead of this pick? Or was it, is it a surprise to you even?
So we had talked and everything like this. He had talked about, you know, maybe taking the top tier wide receiver. He had talked about Pickett and everything like that. I think he was really big that Malik Willis was going to end up in Pittsburgh, which was, I think, was going to be the better sell for him.
Sure.
Kenneth Walker ended up in Seattle. I think he was really between Pickett and Walker and trying to figure out what he wanted to do with his team. And I think it truly came down to the fact that the quarterback position meant a little bit more than the running back did in a rebuild, or not a rebuild, but solidifying your team to be competitive for years to come.
Yeah, no, I mean, I definitely agree with that. So yeah, obviously the pick a second overall was Kenny Pickett, the quarterback for the Pittsburgh Steelers. Nick, what were your general thoughts since you were picking right after him when you saw this one go through the books?
So I had like six contingency plans because, as you said, no one knows what Jerry's going to do.
Nope. Wild card.
Especially with how the NFL draft played out, it definitely screwed things up because, you know, every mock I ran was Malik Willis 1, Hall 2, and then I get my choice of whatever at 3. And then there were some towards the end, it was actually starting to get mocked. Malik Walker Hall. I don't know why he passed him towards the end of the draft. So I had about 4 players I wanted here. NFL draft knocked it down to about 2.
Okay.
And it worked out well for me. I would have ideally liked the quarterback since, as you, my whole spiel on Breece Hall, I want to trade back because I don't want a running back. But value is just, we can talk about it next. But yeah, I would have ideally liked to have something else.
Interesting. So if Jared didn't go Pickett, would you have taken him at 3 or 4?
Probably not, because I don't think Dan would have gone with him at 5. I think I could have sneaked him at 6.
Okay. That's fair. Yeah. Because when I was trying to think about this, like, I think I understand the logic and, you know, the safe approach, like getting a quarterback. And especially, you know, after all the hype that we kind of saw for the last 2 months with this class, you know, potentially, oh my gosh, there's going to be 4, maybe 5 quarterbacks in the first round. Did not play out that way. We didn't even see another quarterback go in the second round. It wasn't until all the way in the third round that these, the second quarterback, you know, Desmond Ridder went off the board. So it was a surprise, you know, just seeing 1 and Pickett falling all the way to 20. But it feels, I don't know, a little bit like a reach. I'm not sure. Passing on Kenneth Walker, especially for Jer's team, like, Pickett really has to be a, I don't know. I just don't have a great warm fuzzies with Pickett, so maybe I'm just, like, inherently biased and I just can't process this. But I just don't feel great about passing on Walker and even some other options. I think you just lost a lot of value with this pick. Jer, you know, has really built his team, you know, up kind of the last, like, year with a lot of picks and moves. But like that war chest ammo is winding down. And I think, I don't know if this pick was utilized maybe correctly.
I think it's interesting just because when you look at his roster, I mean, obviously you've got Jalen Hurts, you've got Zach Wilson, but Darnold's not an option. And then Taysom Hill obviously is playing tight end right now. So that doesn't really kind of work out. I think Pickett, as I talked with Hambrook and everything like that, quarterbacks do have a lot of value in this, and owning the ability to have three, especially with a guy that maybe has upside, is a little bit positive with it. But you, the fact that you're starting fucking Rex Burkhead as your second running back is a fucking dumpster fire of an option with it. And there's not anything better on his fucking roster. Mike Davis is shit. Playoff Lenny's great and everything like that. Ronald Jones, who knows what's going to happen in Kansas City with that backfield, but that's it. That's the end of it all. And, you know, Nick's been on his high horse with no running backs, like, take them when you get them. They're, you know, use them for the first couple of years. It's hard to say that this wasn't a good pick, but I see a lot of upside in some other options.
Yeah, the big thing for me is just where Jair's team's at. He doesn't have many picks next year, so you got to imagine it's an all-in type thing. And I think Kenneth Walker's instant returns over Pickett's is just night and day. If he's going long-term and is kind of going towards rebuild, he's in rough shape with no draft capital, but then Pickett makes sense.
Yeah, I'm kind of with you. That's kind of where I echo my thoughts. And obviously it's early in the offseason. You know, there's still plenty of time to make moves, but I echo your thoughts. I'm curious, though, you know, with Kenny Pickett, you know, going to Pittsburgh, like, this is an offense that does have potential. I'm a little bit lower on Pickett, but what are you guys' thoughts, you know, on him as a player and, you know, his fantasy upside?
I think that Mitchell starts the year, but he doesn't finish. That's where I think the faith in Pickett happens.
Yeah, I would agree. I don't.
Well, I mean, I mean, that's no offense. That's kind of obvious. But, like, what do you expect, like, Pickett to kind of do?
I think he's got a career wide receiver or wide receiver, career quarterback, too. Nah, Kirk Cousins has been wide or quarterback one the last few years, I think, or in that top 12 category. He's in that Baker Mayfield. I think that's probably the best analogy.
I think he might be a little bit better than Baker personally. I think he definitely has a lot of Big Ben resemblance with Mike Tomlin will be big. yeah, that too. But fuck. No, I think I'm going to say 17, 18 ish is where he's going to sit probably with
him. And that's kind of where Mayfield has been outside of last year.
20s, but I think he'll be startable. Obviously, he's top 24 quarterback, but he's not something you want, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, I kind of agree. Like, I think, I mean, it's interesting. Like, I thought I was low on Pickett, but I would have said like 2021, and you guys seem higher on him. But like, if you're drafting like a quarterback that's going to be like QB20, is that like a great pick? You know, second overall in a rookie draft, even if this class is not super amazing. That seems like pretty, like, I'd be frustrated if I was, like, expecting that. Like, I think he's got to be close to, like, Derek Carr-esque, I mean, or Kirk Cousins. I mean, I know they've, you know, crept into, like, top 12, but, like, basically high-end QB2 is, like, what my expectations would be if I'm picking him that high.
I think he's got the potential, though. I think, obviously, there's a lot of weapons in Pittsburgh. You know, you've got a decent running game. You've got Freiermuth. You've got Deontay Johnson. You've got Chase Claypool. There's weapons that exist there. It's set up for Pickett to succeed. The question becomes is, can he step into an offense that has these weapons and truly use them to what their abilities are? And I think that remains the scene. I think that's where we flip the coin, where he could be a top 12 guy, but he could be sitting back as low as 20.
Yeah, I think it's a bit early, especially if you look at league history. Justin Herbert was selected 7th in the NFL draft and went 5th in his rookie draft. Granted, it was a little bit better of a class, but 20th overall, I don't know. Like I said, I had him pegged at me picking him at 6, so 2 was a bit of a surprise.
Yeah, but I mean, I guess I would love to know from Jared, I mean, if he wants to respond, like, did he try to trade back? And, you know, could he have even traded back then? Like, you know, could he have gotten 3, 4, or 5? Because that's one thing I need, like, always try to catch myself is, like, I'm like, oh, this is a reach, or, oh, he didn't get much value, but, like, what's the alternative? Like, could he have, you know, should Jared have traded, like, what could he have got from you, Nick, for the fourth pick? Like, you're probably not going to trade up. Like, you're
no, I had no intentions of
moving up. And then, like, for you, Dan, like, yeah, maybe you might have moved up. I don't know. Maybe you would have been content with that. But, like, what are you really going to offer? So that's, it's kind of a damned if you do, damned if you don't. And it's not a great spot to be in if you're Jared, but without knowing what other options there are, I mean, I guess we can't completely say this was, you know, bad or, you know, an awful reach or anything like that.
Yeah.
If that makes sense.
Yeah. No.
Yeah, that's for sure.
All right. Okay. Let's move on to the third pick. And that was, you know, back to you, Nick. You're on the clock for here. And you went with Kenneth Walker. You obviously had the fourth pick. I mean, was there any action here from your side, or was this, you know, just pretty much locked and loaded?
Yeah, there's quite a bit of talking with me and Jared again.
Okay.
But it just didn't come to fruition. He was offering like 111 and then some seconds. And if I was moving out of 1-4, pretty much my shelf in this draft was at 1-9. Anything after 1-9, I wasn't really happy with what would be available.
Okay.
So moving past that wasn't going to happen. I either was taking my pick or I was getting some 23 capital or a player. And we just couldn't come to agreement on value of anything. So that was really the only talks I had for this pick.
Okay.
I think so, Steph, yeah, I think I had some for other picks later, but that was it for this one.
All right. So, I mean, what are your expectations with Kenneth Walker? He lands in Seattle. You know, he was pretty much this entire process, the consensus RB2. You know, thankfully, we didn't see any surprises. The NFL views him, you know, as RB2. How do you feel about the landing spot and his fantasy upside?
I think it's a fantastic landing spot. Chris Carson may never play football again. And Rashad Penny plays about 5 games a year. They lost Russell Wilson. So it's going to be, he's going to be a huge focal point in that offense. Last year, Drew Lock had 2 top 12 or close to top 12 running backs. So the guy can do it. He can feed his running back. I am hopeful that I can do what you talked about with Hall. He gets that rookie bump. I can flip him for something awesome. Otherwise, I potentially have my RB1 and I can start going all in.
Dan, you look.
Go ahead.
Dan, when you look at Walker, I mean, obviously one of the biggest things about him has been like the passing game or the lack thereof. I mean, do you, you know, this is, there's no like scientific evidence that you can use here, but do you think like, is he just going to be like a Nick Chubb, like a 0 in the pass game? Do you think we can maybe see this develop? And if he doesn't, you know, can he still be an elite option just only rushing on the ground?
I think that's the big question and the big knock with him is the fact that he's not utilized in the passing game. He is very much a first and second down back to grind out yardage. I mean, coming out of the ACC, Big 10, Michigan State, 260 rush attempts, 1,600 yards, 6.2 rush average. That's fucking huge.
Yeah, he dominated.
He had an unbelievable year, but the fact that he had 13 receptions for 89 yards is a very big question mark. And in a PPR league where we don't give anything additional to, you know, rush attempts, it's a question mark. And next to a tight end, a check down receiver to a developing QB is, or check down running back to a developing QB is huge. I don't know if I see it, but at the same point in time, there's not really many better options on Seattle's bench. Like Nick said, Rashad Penny plays 5 games a year. So this is something he's got to develop quickly, or I think he loses a lot of the potential upside that is being a 3 down back.
Yeah. I mean, I agree with that. I share Walker in another league and I'm excited, but you know, there's only so many Derrick Henrys and Nick Chubbs that can just like break through the mold and only do it on the ground and be amazing. I think Walker is a very talented guy and I'm optimistic, but I am worried about that and the lack, you know, being a 0 in the past game. You know, I hope it was just scheme at Michigan State and maybe we see something unlocked in Seattle. like Nick, I'm sure many people saw like that fun one hand catch
video. I was just going to say this.
So like, obviously excitement, you know, that's obviously going to happen on every Sunday, right?
Go ahead. I'm going to jump in. The big thing, well, now that I have them, I've looked into it more. The big thing, Michigan State's offense. In the last 5 years, the most catches by a running back is 15. It's just not a thing.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that was the huge knock on Jonathan Taylor coming out is Wisconsin doesn't, or he had no catches at Wisconsin.
Yeah.
And I think he had a few games of 10 plus catches. So the NFL is a bit of a different beast. And I have him. I'm hopeful. If I didn't have him, I'm sure I'd be like, oh, he sucks. But
yeah, I mean, I think the one. Homer. Yeah, but I do think the one good thing is, like, you know, love it or hate it, you know, I have Russell Wilson in a few leagues, like Seattle and Pete Carroll, they want to run the offense through their running back. So, I mean, I think whether that's, even if it is only rushing the ball, I think, you know, for Walker, you got to feel good about the landing spot. And hopefully, you know, we'll see, you know, Pete Carroll, if he lasts, like, you know, a few more years or what, hopefully this doesn't change, but that's a big plus for him. So that's like one of the reasons why I feel most optimistic about him. All right, Nick, you're back on the clock at 4. Anything, you know, behind the scenes, like change with this pick or, you know, worth talking about?
I think this is the one I took a long time on, right? Where
I don't know. It was a,
I was in a lot of talks with Stefan. Okay. And
by the way, we should, you know, in case people didn't know, Stefan got married last week. You know, congratulations.
During the draft.
During the draft.
That is why it took me so long, is I was having really good talks for him. And then Weber sends a picture of them in tuxes, and I just got radio silence from Stefan. So I'm like, oh.
Understandable.
So that's why I said there's big things going on in people's lives in the league. I'm waiting for a response. And then first thing in the morning, he texted me that he just couldn't come up with the value I wanted. So then I made my pick. I don't know if it was for this one or for Wilson, but.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. This pick was tough. I was honestly about 75-25 going to go Garrett Wilson.
Interesting. And then okay.
I just...
So what kind of pushed it over the edge for Drake London for you?
I don't know. I think I just clicked.
You just closed your eyes?
He's bigger. He's just a stare. He's a typical wide receiver, like what you want, prototypical. Mm-hmm. I already have like PPR people. I needed a breakout stud. And I think he is probably the highest chance at that in this class just by his ability, speed, everything. So I went with the super high upside. I think Wilson probably has the highest floor out of every wide receiver in this draft, but I needed a swing for a Hail Mary for my team.
Dan, what are your thoughts on Drake London and, you know, Nick making this pick and all that stuff?
I think he's the top guy in Atlanta. And I think anytime you get to draft a guy.
Over Pitts? Are we not counting Pitts in this?
I didn't count Pitts in this just because I wanted to say, hey, like wide receiver wise, he's going to be the.
Let's throw Pitts into it. Let's make it fun. Can he throw in Pitts or is he number two?
I think he's two to Pitts. It's hard to beat a really talented tight end, especially in a tight end premium league.
Sure.
But he like Nick said, he's a fucking big kid. He really is. He's a huge body, huge frame. Like he can go out and get balls. I mean, huge year at USC with it. I don't blame Nick for going London here.
Yeah. London was, so Hall was my own question number one. London and Walker were both in my tier two. So toss up whoever you want. But London's actually my second player. I just think he checks every box that you want for a wide receiver and just for a player. You know, it's got the size that Nick mentioned, early declare. Dominated in college before he broke his ankle. You know, Falcons might not be great short term, but I think long term, you know, the quarterback situations can find a way to change quickly. So I like this pick. He's unquestionably my wide receiver one in this class. Anything else before we move on, Nick? Take a little break before you're back on the clock. Yep, Nick's dead again. Joy.
Oh, it's fucking fantastic.
It absolutely is. Well, we can move on to the fifth pick. Thankfully, Nick or Dan, you're on the clock. And you, this was kind of the second, maybe biggest curveball so far the first round. We saw Pickett, obviously, at two, a little bit of a surprise. But then at five, we saw Mr. Jameson Williams. J-Mo, going to you. What, you know, talk us through it. What were you thinking with this pick and, you know, going ultimately with this decision?
So London was obviously the first guy that I was hoping would get to me, but he didn't. So now I'm sitting here and I've got Jameson Williams, Garrett Wilson, Sky Moore, Treylon Burks, Chris Olave, you know, Watson. I've got a lot of wide receiver action that's going here.
Yep.
I think Williams is the second best physical talent on the board. Understanding that, yes, he has an ACL injury, but he really stepped up when Michi went down. Yeah. And I think that's a huge piece to see the talent that comes out of him. I think he's a very physical guy. He's a very quick guy. He's a guy that can really go through and make a difference. And being on a Detroit team that, yes, you got, I have DJ Chark on my roster. Yep. I picked him up with part of this. Going back to back Jets is the same thing like going and drafting the second Detroit wide receiver. It's you're damned if you don't. There wasn't a whole lot of traction to move out of five. My old man had reached out to me with some of those pieces. I don't think we came a little close in some of those things. Mm-hmm. But I thought Jameson Williams was truly the bigger upside play, understanding that I won't have him for probably half the season this mm-hmm. year. But I like the physical talent I get out of Williams in this pick.
You know, swinging for the fences.
Which is my style.
That is your style. And it can bite you in the ass, but when it hits, you know, it's glorious to watch like that payoff. I wouldn't have gone Jameson Williams, but I do admire your approach. Because I think if Jameson Williams does hit like kind of his like ceiling in terms of what he could potentially become, I think like the only wide receiver in this class that could be better than him, like on that range of outcomes, if you want to like give a scale of like everyone hits like their 100% tile, like best case scenario, I think Treylon Burks is just a little bit ahead of Jameson Williams. But, you know, it's close. And I think, you know, the Detroit Lions situation is interesting. We talked about the Jets. I mean, this Lions offense is kind of getting exciting, isn't it?
I agree. I think they're giving Jared Goff a couple different options. Obviously, DeAndre Swift's coming back. You've got TJ Hockenson. DJ Chark takes a signature there.
Amon Ross St. Brown.
We had a huge back end of that. Kudos to Jared, which carried him to a third place or a second or second or third.
Second.
Second place finish, which right team, right time. Jameson Williams fits into that piece, and I think we're watching them give weapons into that offense, just like the fucking Bears don't do to Justin Fields. But I like Williams. Him coming in midseason, coming off the ACL, I like the tangibles that he has.
Yeah, and also I need to call you out. My favorite thing is that you said he carried when John Michi went out. Michi got injured in the championship game.
Just fucking let me live my life.
Yep, you're 17-0 in, so I get it. All right.
I'm not quite. Nick's back, but...
Oh, Nick's back. Perfect. We're moving
Nick
on
to Nick is back. Six. So what we're going to do here is we're going to do this like ad hoc thing where I'm going to disconnect for a second while I go take a piss and make a
I like drink, it.
And Nick's going to do his shit, and I'm going to come in blind. 3, 2, 1, Ruth, go.
Oh, perfect. Nick, you're on
so
the clock.
So 1-6.
Yeah.
I was going to take Wilson at 4, so it's no surprise if he's available, I'm jumping.
Yeah, I mean, I agree. I think this, well, I don't entirely agree. I think for me, was it at all a debate? Well, clearly not. Treylon Burks, was he at all on your radar?
He was on my radar, but he is a wide receiver in a Derrick Henry offense where Garrett Wilson, I think, is going to be the focal point of that offense. He is just a technician. He reminds me a lot of Keenan Allen's game. It ages well. He had the safest floor for me. I took my home run hit on London, so I was going to take someone who will kind of be even keel for me.
That's fair. Any traction to move this pick that you remember, or was it like not happening just with how you viewed Wilson?
I think, I don't know if this was the pick. One of these picks was me and Stefan going back and forth for a long time. We were real close.
I think it was nine. Yeah, I think
we were real close. With Wilson available, they're able to take a King's Ransom to move me off. He was close. He was like 1B to London in my tiers. So
okay. That's fair. All right. Well, Dan's still, you know, making a drink. So we're going to move on to the seventh pick. And that was Steve on the clock. You know, Steve, one of the interesting things about this class is, or this draft, was the fact that the first two picks were not owned by the teams that were the worst two teams in the league, which were Steve and Chris. So Steve is on the clock here. And Steve, another curveball, I think, you know, took Sky Moore, wide receiver for the Kansas City Chiefs. Nick, what are kind of your thoughts on Sky Moore, like pre-draft and then post-draft?
Pre-draft, I really liked him at my 2-3 before I moved it. I was banking on him or Watson.
Okay.
They were both two wide receivers that I liked. That was kind of outside that first tier of those, what, five wide receivers that I liked. Yeah. He gets that Kansas City bump. I remember, or I was reading some and listening to podcasts where they were saying, you know, Mecole Hardman, once he got drafted to Kansas City, was going in the first round. So a wide receiver attached to Mahomes just gets an insane bump. In this case, the guy's actually good, so that helps. Yeah. But wouldn't have been my pick, that's for sure.
Yeah, I mean, I like Sky Moore a lot, too. Are you at all, either of you, I see you're announcing yourself as being back, Dan.
Yeah, you got it. Yep.
Are either of you, like, what are your thoughts, like, on players, like, that come from, like, smaller schools? Like, not, like, a Power 5 conference. Sky Moore, obviously, isn't that, you know, not from a Power 5 school. Does that worry you at all for either a wide receiver or just any player in general?
Oh, for sure. I mean, the Bears were doing non-Power 5 schools high draft picks for years, and look at where they are. They better fucking dominate. And he didn't necessarily dominate, but he was really, really good. So that helps. It's still super scary to me. I don't know if I would have taken that.
It's being the smartest kid on the short bus. Like it's where I'm at right now. You don't feel great about it, but you have a lot of positive upside. Like somebody's going to do well, obviously coming out of Western Michigan, having a big year, yardage wise, not necessarily touchdown wise. You're right. The Kansas City bump makes him a lot more enticing than the guy that's going to go next with it. But I don't know. I don't think I would have gone Sky Moore here.
And just how Kansas City did it. They traded back to get him. Mm-hmm. Like they didn't trade up to get him. They moved back and he was still there and kind of like a consolation prize. So I don't know. He's going to be good. He'll probably be a solid wide receiver two for his entire career, which if you can get a wide receiver two in the back half of a first for the next 5-10 years, you're super happy. Yeah. So
it's, yeah,
can't be upset with it.
No, I agree. I like Sky Moore a lot. Don't get me wrong, but I think, you know, let's move on in the eighth pick. And Chris, you know, after not having the first overall pick through some trades, he's on the board here at 1.8. For my money, I think this is the biggest steal of the draft when you factor in, you know, the player, where they went. He took Treylon Burks, wide receiver for the Tennessee Titans. I don't know. I think Chris, back-to-back, you know, years, you know, he took Jamar Chase last year. Now he got Treylon Burks. Not saying Burks is going to be Jamar Chase, but I think he just got a real value and kind of a gift fall into his lap.
And I think the biggest piece to it is because of the landing spot with it. He goes to Tennessee. When you say, oh, Tennessee Titans, who's the first name that pops into your head? Sure as fuck isn't Derrick Ryan Henry. Tannehill. Yeah, it's Derrick Henry, which means you're a run-first offense. You're not getting the production in that kind of game. A.J. Brown, has had some success. Julio Jones, obviously, we had a couple injury pieces with it.
Mm-hmm.
He's brought in to replace both of those guys. Yeah. So he's truly going to be the number one there. But, I mean, Treylon Burks is a great receiver, 1,100 yards last year, but the landing spot, I think, hurt him a little bit. I think that's why he fell like he did.
Possibly. I mean, you also have to look at what was given up to move up to get him. I mean, you can look at this pick and the next pick. There are two things where the teams gave up a lot to move up to get their guy. I mean, A.J. Brown was dynasty wide receiver one going into maybe wide receiver two going into this year. I think Jefferson might have passed him, but
yeah,
I mean, he was a hot commodity and was young stud, and they just moved on from him to get this kid who every comp pre-draft was, he is A.J. Brown.
Yeah.
So I mean, if he can also fill the shoes, then he's golden.
Yeah, I mean, A.J. Brown obviously was not done any favors in Tennessee, and he was like hyper efficient, and that's why he succeeded like so well. But I mean, you know, look at Burks. I mean, Arkansas is not like a fucking powerhouse. And he, you know, made it work. Like, they got him the ball in ways. I mean, I'm sure many of us saw him, like, he torched, you know, Alabama and that, you know, NFL defense pretty much. So, I mean, the A.J. Brown comparisons are kind of ridiculous, but they're also fair because of just the type of player, like how he plays on the field. I don't know. I really like him. Dan, it sounds like you're kind of out. Nick, you seem more into him.
Yeah, I mean, he's just a weird case study. You know, this is one of the first years I actually watched tape on people because I have a kid. So rocking him, I just watched tape. They had to force the ball into his hand, like scheme him the ball, which is exciting, but also he doesn't get great separation. So they had to scheme him to get the ball because he couldn't do it on his own. He was in that top tier of wide receivers for me, but where he went outside of Sky Moore probably fit my draft board. I would have taken him as the fourth wide receiver.
Interesting. Okay.
Yeah. I'm not disagreeing with that. I had considerations for him at 1.5. I like the physical upside to Williams a little bit better than what I saw with Burks. And I think that's part of the reason why I went Williams in that situation.
What is the physical upside with Jameson Williams? Isn't he like a string bean that's like 6'2"?
6'2", 190, yep. We call that explosiveness on a high-ceiling team, which is what I run.
But Treylon Burks is like 6'2 and like 230.
Yeah, but his combine sucked donkey dick.
It did, but
right. I don't know. I mean, we just saw a run of we're at the fifth wide receiver, about to get to number six here in a second. I mean,
yeah,
this is just a wide receiver, very heavy draft, and you can make a case for any of these guys to go in any of these positions.
I won't argue with that.
I mean,
that.
To an extent. Obviously, there's a couple intangibles that you can't teach, but, I mean, go ahead and move on to 1.9.
Yeah, well, Chris, I liked your pick. 1.9, Nick, you're back on the clock. This was the one that you and Stefan debated on for a bit, and you tried to, like, godfather Stefan into having to accept this offer on his wedding day. Did not work out, so you went with Mr. Chris Olave for the Saints. Right now, wide receiver. Nick, why don't you talk about how you felt about Olave in this pick?
So he's the last wide receiver in my tier one of wide receivers.
Everyone Saints, previously picked tier one?
Yeah, except for Sky Moore.
Okay.
The Saints gave up a shit ton to move up to get him.
Yeah.
11th overall. Super exciting. Jameson Winston can maintain at least two wide receivers. He's proven it.
Yeah.
So if Michael Thomas comes back and is even a quarter of his former self, I think Olave is going to be in great shape.
Yeah, I think the Olave piece here is very interesting. The landing spot's very unique, just because we don't know what the fuck is going on with that head case and everything like that. It's Winston is, I like Winston as a quarterback. I do. I think in that offense, he's going to succeed. Alvin Kamara obviously has some positive upside to it. I like it. you don't see the big number values out of Olave coming out of Ohio State like you've seen out of previous guys, but being an Ohio State wide receiver obviously gives you a lot of negativity.
Mm-hmm.
So I think there's that kind of like enigma on him, but he's a talented kid. He's, I mean, he had 13 touchdowns last year, just shy of 1,000 yards. It's just, I'm 50-50 on him. I don't know if I feel one way or another about being better off.
Yeah, his Ohio State numbers are a bit hard to re-gauge too, because the top three wide receivers in the draft were all at Ohio State at one point. Like, that's insane.
Yeah, big time. I mean, I think, so I agree. Olave, I think, was the obvious pick here, just with how the board fell at this point. 1.9, no-brainer. I like him. I mean, I think the only concern with Olave for me is the fact that, like, he's never been, like, the best wide receiver on his team. He came back for his senior year. He was always behind Garrett Wilson. You know, this past year, we saw him go behind Garrett Wilson and Jackson Smith Najigba, who will be the top wide receiver probably in next year's class out of Ohio State. And that worries me, because in college, you can obviously scheme and, like, you know, C.J. Stroud, he's a great quarterback. There's Ohio State offense, spectacular. But, like, it's easy for everyone to get numbers, but the fact that he was never really the number one, I mean, I don't know. That just gives me a little bit of caution. I am fine with the pick. I think it's a good landing spot, but that's my only little, I don't know, giving me some wiggle room if the pick fails, I guess.
No, I mean, you're not wrong.
All right. Okay, let's move on. Steve is back on the clock. He had a few picks to grind up this first round. And the 10th overall pick he made was James Cook, running back for the Buffalo Bills. Dan, since you're basically a Buffalo Bills spokesperson, how should we feel about this pick?
I think this was a stretch. I mean, maybe with some of the guys that were on the board, there's some upside to it. Obviously, nobody knows outside of Josh Allen what the running back field in Buffalo is. Devin Singletary had a sneaky good year. Everything else is kind of a dumpster fire outside of that. This is a pass first offense with a run when you think you have the option to it, but your running option is the guy that's throwing the ball. I like it. I don't like it. I mean, obviously coming out of Georgia, he's a decent back. I'm indifferent. I don't think it's great, but with what's on the board and the lack of talent after, like Nick said, 1.9, I'm okay with it. And his team kind of needs this aspect with it.
Nick,
let's be fair. His team needs every aspect.
Yeah, you're not wrong. Yeah.
So I don't love it, but he's the third running back, best running back in the draft. So with position scarcity that is running back, it makes sense. I maybe would have debated Watson. That's really the only two people I would have. Pickens maybe, but Watson and Cook probably would be this tier for me. Yeah. And, you know, the Bills really tried to get McKissick. He backed out at the last second. So I feel like he's going to hold that role, and he'll probably be a top 24 running back just purely on dump offs. But Josh Allen is the least dump off quarterback in the NFL, so it could be a little tough.
Yeah, I mean, I think for me, it is interesting. Like, it's a tale as old as time. We see running backs propped up because a landing spot or just where they go in the NFL draft, and then they disappoint. And I'm not saying James Cook is going to disappoint, but it's, you know, is he going to be a Keyshawn Vaughn, or is he going to be like a, I don't even know. I'm trying to think of a running back that worked out that kind of rose late in the process.
It's probably a Clyde Edwards-Helaire versus Jonathan Taylor. You know, position where he landed propped him up so much that talent kind of was,
Yeah. And CDH, I mean,
CDH over JT.
Is Buffalo, like, really going to use him, like, as, like, the undisputed running back? Like, is Devin Singletary completely out? Like, I don't know. I think
Zach Moss is completely out.
Well, yeah, yes, absolutely. But I mean, I think it's just, I don't know. It's a fine pick, but I'm kind of with you guys. I don't feel as excited about it. Like, I'm very, like, cautious on this one. And, you know, kudos to Steve, I guess, for rolling the dice. Glad that he is willing to fall on this bomb than me, but I don't know if I could do it.
Yeah. I mean, it's a question mark. You're 100%. It's the who knows aspect to it. It's he has a lot of potential, but holy shit floor.
Yeah, I mean, this in the draft, this is the fall off the cliff point. So it's really just who's your guy? Go with it, in my opinion.
Yep, I agree.
So, I mean, from your side, Nick, I mean, you've talked about how, like, running back is, you know, not something that you really want to prioritize, like, when rebuilding. And your team, you know, has some pieces. You know, you can really, at this point, like, field kind of a lineup, and it doesn't, like, look awful, like something you're embarrassed about. Steve, on the other hand, it's a work in progress still. I mean, how do you feel about him, like, where he's at in his rebuild, like, taking a running back, especially one, like, late at this point, as opposed to just other options?
Well, Jair's pick next. Jair desperately needs a running back.
Yep. Do you think there was a snipe here?
Oh, 100%. I would have done in the same positioning, my team, Jair's picking behind me. I would have done the same thing because I think I can get more value come the season for a running back needy team than what I would get trading 110. So at this point, I think it's purely that is you're getting pieces to trade. And I think Cook is a piece to trade.
That's fair. So where do you guys think he can be? Like, can he be a top 24 running back this year?
No.
I think he can be. I mean, if Singletary goes down, Moss goes down, sure.
Many intangibles. So. No.
Can Buffalo support a top 24 running back?
No.
Well, they did last year, so yes.
I'm going to say no.
But I mean, okay, I know they did it last year, but like you saw them like, just draft a running back. They still obviously have their running back that did it. You know, Singletary just barely scooched in. You know, is this, I guess what I'm saying is like, is this just going to be an ugly timeshare? Or do you think like Cook can really kind of cement himself like 60-40, 65-35, like that this is his backfield touch-wise?
No.
I don't think so. I don't think his between the tackles is very good. So I don't think so.
This will forever be a pass-first offense with Josh Allen in there unless they bring in a huge name.
Okay. All right, let's move on to the 11th pick, and this was Jair's second in the first round. And he went wide receiver, and he went with Christian Watson, wide receiver for the Green Bay Packers. Nick, you've kind of alluded to him a few times. Why don't you lead us off with this one?
Yeah, he's a smaller school guy. He didn't dominate in the smaller school conferences, so that was a big red flag. He got a massive Green Bay bump.
Yep. He's
probably in the top. I mean, Sky Moore probably is higher in that tier two than him. But from draft capital, the Packers did give up quite a bit to move up to get him, which is encouraging. He's tied to Rodgers for a bit. I think it's a phenomenal pick. Maybe you debate who went next, but I think landing spot would have given me the bump to go Watson over him.
Yeah, I think this is
he's a big motherfucker.
He is a huge motherfucker. I think you're right. This is a landing spot pick. With it, I mean, being 6'5", having Aaron Rodgers, Dotson, Pickens, there, Michi, Robinson, there's a couple guys that put in this landing spot, go in this spot. And I think this is the true Aaron Rodgers effect that makes Watson that much more enticing to be picked here, especially with Devontae Adams being gone. Yeah, it's hard to argue Watson not being a first-round talented pick, even though he's not the most well-rounded wide receiver on the board.
Yeah, I mean, I think, Nick, you kind of touched base on my sort of concern with Christian Watson. Let's get it out of the way. Like, he is an athletic freak. You know, he is a combine, like, you know, we see it every year, like these guys that just blow up the combine, and you know, they have all like the physical like stats and like what you want to see. They do well. Like he did better like than Treylon Burks and some other players like in this role. But this guy went to North Dakota State, played with Trey Lance, third overall pick last year for the San Francisco 49ers. He never really had an amazing year. You know, he equipped 800 yards in his senior year. I don't know. I think you guys are absolutely right. Like, he got the rise here because of the landing spot, you know, going in Green Bay. We knew going into this draft, like, the Green Bay and Kansas City, you know, landing spots after trading away Davante Adams and Tyreek Hill, like, those were going to be money. And first round didn't go great, but the second round was kind of awesome for seeing those wide receivers. But I don't know. I just, maybe it's just me hoping the Packers fuck it up, but I'm a little worried about Watson and this paying off for him.
Oh, I fucking love getting the text messages that fucking Roos' internet died again. Like, nothing makes me happier.
You know, this is a fun way to do the podcast.
Chris, get your shit ready. Like, it's fucking happening. This is going to be a real quick replacement right here.
They're getting promoted to the big leagues.
No shit. But, Watson, you're right. It's a non-Power 5 conference. Guy that didn't have a lot of great years. Came off of having a good quarterback. It's the landing spot is ideal.
Very much so.
Yep.
All right. Last pick of the first round. We are back with Steve. And he went with Jahan Dotson, wide receiver for the Washington... I wish it was football team, but the Commanders.
Commies.
The Commies, yes.
Washington Commies.
Should have been the Red Hogs.
Oh, God, I would have fucking loved the Red Hogs. That would have been dope as shit.
But Dotson, he was kind of a surprise in the first round of the NFL draft. Or maybe it was just me. But hard to argue with this pick, I guess, all things considered. Might quibble a little bit, but I don't hate it. What do you think, Dan?
Steve needs the wide receivers. I mean, Steve is looking at...
Steve needs a lot.
Yes, that is. Michael Thomas, nobody knows what's going on. Brandon Ayuk kind of took a back seat. But after that, it's a large downfall to Terrence Marshall. Terrace Marshall. Kendrick Osborne, some guy with a hyphenated last name. Adam Humphries is a dog pile of shit. Cleef Raymond is dead. There's this disparity of talent right now on Steve's roster. And Washington is an interesting landing spot with the quarterback situation, with Scary Terry being the one. I think Dotson's in a really good spot in this offense with it.
You think Carson Wentz and Terry McLaurin, you're feeling okay about the second wide receiver in a Carson Wentz offense?
No, you never do, because Carson Wentz is the number one running back and the number one wide receiver, and then everything else is just a dumpster fire.
Yep.
But it's hopes and prayers. This is with what's on the board. I thought Pickens should have gone here personally.
Yeah.
I think this was on Steve's team. Pickens was the better option. Understanding that, you know, Malik Willis is still on the board. You've got Trubisky. You've got Case Keenum, Teddy Two Gloves, PJ Walker, Jake Fromm. Holy shit. Why am I talking about these guys?
Yep. You would have entertained another quarterback here?
Malik is very interesting.
Interesting.
With it, I think.
We don't have to go in depth because we're going to do the second round next week. But
yeah.
Quarterback would not be on my radar here.
Okay. So would you have, is Pickens the guy on your radar then?
Yeah, I mean, so I think I'm a little bit lower on Watson, so I probably would have had, like, Watson and maybe Cook, you know, fall towards, like, the end of, like, this first round, maybe into the second. I'm with you on Pickens, though. I think he should have been here. I think, you know, Pickens is a guy that just checks a lot of the boxes, the prototypical boxes that you want to see from a player. But I might be biased since I ended up with Pickens. But Dotson isn't a bad option. I mean, first round pick, you know, wide receiver. I don't love Carson Wentz, but situations can change. But I think Dotson was not like, this wasn't a reach. Like, this was right in his range where he should have went.
Mm-hmm. No, you're not wrong. Not at all. It's this quarterback situation with a lot of these shitty teams with broad quarterback situations, you're really nervous about the pieces that are in this offense. And this is, I think, what this year's draft is really kind of set us up for, is owning some of the Carolina, Washington, Pittsburgh, Seattle pieces where quarterbacks are changing. You don't know what's going to happen. It's a scary thought.
Yeah, there was a lot of flux this offseason with just quarterbacks moving around via trade, demanding trades. You know, maybe we'll see some more. And the NFL is definitely changing in that aspect, I think. Nick, I think you're back with us. Do you have any thoughts on the Stockton pick?
I would have taken him over Pickens. This is probably him and Pierce, maybe, if I'm trying to do something, since he's going to have so much opportunity, but we can talk about him next round. With how the NFL is treating wide receivers, they may not want to pay Scary Terry, and Dotson is a number one wide receiver. So,
yeah,
I think it's a great pick. Only person I probably would have picked here. Can't really, I mean, first round wide receiver. I mean, it doesn't say too much since Rieger was one, but
yeah,
I think draft capital, position, draft board, this was an easy pick.
I mean, it's hard to argue with what you said there. I definitely think Dotson deserved to go in the first round. But man, I don't know. Situation scares me a little bit. I just do not trust this Washington football team, but we'll see.
Ah, Washington Commies, get it right. They have a name now.
My apologies. All right, as we wind down with this first round, interesting, we started with a boom and then no trades the rest of the first round. Did that, you know, both of you guys had multiple picks. Did that surprise you at all?
For sure, with how much trade talks I was in, trying to move up or move back. I think I was so close to moving up twice. I was so close to moving back twice. And no one would come to meet the value I expected or what they wanted. So seeing how often my trades fell apart, it didn't surprise me. I think the night before the draft, I was talking with you, and I had trades in place to move 1-1, 1-3, and 1-9. All three were being moved, and they all fell apart in the morning.
Yeah.
So it doesn't surprise me.
I was with Sam that night, and I mentioned it to him, and he's like, God damn, I can't wait for fireworks. And then he thought I was lying after nothing happened. Dan, what about from your side?
I thought it played out as it needed to be. There was a lot of question mark coming into this year's draft. There was a lot of uncertainty. And once the pre-draft happened, and I think my move solidified the settling of the draft, because it's now, all right, the sure thing goes, and now let's see what happens. I think deep down inside, I set the motion of this draft on what needs to happen, and it really calmed everything down.
I feel like that's a very narcissistic answer.
I'm in a couple drinks and a half in, but fuck it. Like, that's what's going to happen, yes.
Here's my question for you, Dan. After seeing how the draft played out, are you still happy you made the trade? Or do you wish maybe you could? Okay, that's a quick answer.
Nope. Yeah, no, I love that Hall's on my roster. I got Williams, understanding that he's going to be a back half play. The top tier teams in our division are changing. Stefan's going to be another year, maybe 2 years tops. And then we're going to watch him topple with retirement, aging, losing traction, and we're going to see a couple other teams step up into this situation where I think myself, I'm setting myself be that guy that everybody's chasing.
Yeah, it's funny how the power levels in the division have switched so drastically in 4 years. Before, Nick and I's division was a joke, and now it looks like we have probably four teams that are good. I'm getting there. Maybe five teams. And then the other division has two teams really going all in, three teams-ish, and that's it.
Yeah.
But it's a fun dynamic. Once Sam sold, everything changed. The whole dynamic just flipped. Sam to Jerry to Nick to me to Steve and Chris and fucking everybody just fucking shelled. It's been a fun 4 years.
It really has, because I mean, when you mentioned Sam and now you look at like Steve's team, over the next 3 years, Steve has 9 first round draft picks counting this year. You know, he has come next year alone, he has 4 second round draft picks. He's got 2 in 2024. Like, Steve has a lot of draft ammo. This team looks ugly now, but a year from now, it's going to be looking very nice. I promise you that. All right, before we wrap up, I mean, when you look at the first round, whether it's a player, whether it's a trade, whether it's a move that wasn't made, is there a bold prediction you just want to state for this upcoming season involving something in the first round?
Dan, one of the wide receivers I took is going to be Jalen Reagor. That's why I took 3 of them.
You have to pick one. Who is it?
Probably Olave.
Okay. Dan?
Hall finishes a top 10 running back.
Another one that doesn't count.
What do you mean it doesn't fucking count?
That's not bold. We all just picked him to be a top like 12. So kudos.
I jumped up 2 spots. Okay, so Treylon Burks is not a top 30 wide receiver.
Okay. All right.
Is that bold enough for you? It's a bold strategy, Cotton. Let's see if it pays off.
I feel like one more drink, it'll really pay off.
Oh, no. This drink has 2 sips left in it. I'm fucking done. Like, this is where life ends for me. This is where I just put myself to bed and life is good.
I think
cooking the first round is also stupid, but that's just me.
Yeah, I mean, I guess that's my bold prediction, is I think Cook is just like a timeshare back. And unless like this Buffalo offense with, you know, Brian DeBull like gone, like if they just start incorporating like the passing game and running backs, you know, in that, I don't know. Cook just kind of really screams Clyde Edwards-Helaire, and just not living up to like that hype and creating like expectations that aren't there. So I think if there's a bust, you know, sorry, Steve, I like a lot of the moves that you did, but I don't think the James Cook one is going to pay off.
Nope. And again, this podcast brought to you by AT&T, where reliable internet is all you need.
On that note, Nick, anything you want to add before you disconnect? He disconnected, I think. So on that note.
It was a pleasure, boys.
Until next week, we'll be back probably, maybe, unless Nick causes all of us to disconnect. And we'll talk about
good deal, boys.
Adios. Till next time.